Springfield's Talk 104.1. Good Friday morning. What a great day. Great weather. We've got Heroes Breakfast going on out here. A big thank you to our friends at Air Services Heating, Cooling, All Service Plumbing, Delta Roofing, and Scramblers until 9 a.m. Free breakfast for veterans. There's no catch, by the way. Like, oh, free. There's no such thing as free. Well, that's kind of true overall. It's free to you if you're a veteran. It's because somebody else is buying it, the people I just mentioned. So how about that? Come out, take advantage of it, or show any of it that you do happen to miss. Like if you come out here, for example, and you think, oh, I have a hard time hearing because, you know, there's a lot going on, or I'm in conversation with some folks, here talking to Dee Wampler or Don Carricker or, you know, some of these other folks, Dr. Lilly, and I miss some of the show. Don't worry, GunTech Nixus sponsors our on-demand section, so you can check out anything that you happen to miss at KSGF.com or KSGF app, iTunes, or Spotify. Are your levels okay over there?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to make sure. We've got Dr. John Lilly with us. We're going to continue on here. Let's first, though, jump over to Jason Reimer with the latest news. First alert forecast, we got a nice one ahead. Today, sunny, 77, clear tonight, 54, sunny, 78 tomorrow. Sunday, showers are likely, maybe some thunderstorms with a high of 73 expected. It is 46 and sunny here in Springfield as we broadcast from Scramblers on Republic Road and National. Dr. Lilly's with us. Hello, good sir.
Good morning.
Now, we are still waiting to see whether or not you're going to join us in Jamaica, and it's all up to the Chiefs.
Yes.
Well, I guess it's not up to them. Who decides the schedules anyhow? I
mean, the NFL.
Do they have a little board? I wonder how they – is there a method to how they do this?
There must be, but yeah. – It might be computer-driven. I don't know. They might put something in the computer. You know, there's one thing that you missed by missing the Great Escape in February is the annual cleaning of your iPad screen.
Yeah. There, my iPad screen tends to get a little messy.
Greasy?
Greasy, yeah, just because I don't really clean it. And on The Great Escape, that's when it gets clean because Dr. Lilly, with great disgust, sees it, can't handle looking at it, and so he cleans it for me. Yes. So it will be 2 years since that screen has gotten a good cleaning.
That's
so
right.
I really hope that the Chiefs' schedule works out to where, and for people that don't know, you go to all the games, you and Bobby go to all the games, and so if you're going to miss one, then you don't go.
Right.
On The Great Escape. So fingers crossed. And
if it's a crappy game, we might miss one.
All right.
If we have to miss two, then it's definitely can't go.
So hopefully. Now, you guys went on the Jamaica one, right?
Yes.
No,
we went on. No,
you didn't
we
go
did
on
not
Jamaica
go.
One?
We went the Dominican Republic the year before.
Okay, well, let me tell you then, I really hope you are able to go because I know one of the things you like to do is the snorkeling. And at least the last time we were there, there's essentially four private beaches on this resort. And one of them has a little ways out, some reef, and you can swim on the back side of it, and it is tropical fish everywhere.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's what I think a lot of people in their minds when they think about going on some tropical vacation and they really play it up and paint it up and, this would be the way that I imagine it. That's what it was like when we were there when it came to the tropical fish. And, I don't remember how – it's not very far out at all. I mean, we're talking a number of – maybe, 20 yards or something.
Wow.
It's very, very close. So you don't – it's not one of those things like, I don't know if I can swim all the way out. Or not, it's really close up, so you will definitely enjoy it.
Good.
All right, now let's see what time is it. Let's go ahead, and I want to get to traffic and get our first break with some of our partners taken care of, and then we'll continue on with Dr. John Lilly as we broadcast from Scramblers this morning. I'm Nick Reed. Dr. John Lilly with us this morning at Scramblers. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey. Well, there's good news.
Yay!
There's only 2 weeks left in the Missouri legislative session.
Excellent.
The session ends on Friday the 14th, 2 weeks from today.
Well, and of course, that doesn't account however many emergency sessions they'll be called back for.
And they've only passed 2 of 21 appropriations bills, which they have to pass by next Friday. Actually, they just go through Thursday. So they're going to be spending a lot of time just on the appropriations bills. I think they've all made it through that because they originate in the House. Mm. They've all made it through the House. The Senate's now got to do them. Senate's only done 2 of the 21. So they're going to be debating those most of next week, which means other stuff is not going to get debated, fortunately. Save a little bit more of our liberty.
It's a wonderful illustration of perspectives. And I remember just growing up and you'd hear the term in a negative connotation, do nothing Congress, on a federal level more, and how it was labeled as a failure because this Congress has passed less legislation than the last. And I'm thinking, man, you want to talk about a difference in perspective. To me, that's a good thing.
Right.
That means that's less. Because the laws that they pass to create, it's always eroding liberties or micromanaging us or taking some of our, taking private property from some people to redistribute it to others. So the less that's done, the better. And I don't know when that moment occurred that I realized what a profound difference in perspective that those on the left see it as a bad thing if Congress is passing less laws versus what I think the average person feels and thinks.
Absolutely. Well, we are going to have an MRA meeting on Tuesday.
Oh, excellent day.
It is the Greene County.
Spanish there.
The Greene County MRA meeting. It's going to be at the Greene County Election Training Center downtown.
All right.
It's close to where the Justice Building is. 1126 North Boonville.
I think I spoke at a libertarian event there once.
Okay, yeah, it's
Arthur Hodges was there.
Yeah. It's a great facility. The meeting is going to be from 6 to 8. The doors open at 5:30, so you can come a little early.
Okay.
I'm going to be on the agenda. There's going to be part of the agenda, somebody talking about the Patriot Academy, somebody talking about We the People, Missouri. I'm going to do the second half of the Missouri Constitution class, and there's going to be a town hall discussion on affecting legislation with Shane Schuler, Steve Lampe, Brett Sterling, and myself.
Okay. Excellent.
So, yeah.
Mark your calendar. So do people need to sign up for this? What do they need to do?
No, I think you just show up.
All right. Should they bring their own food?
Well,
they want a snack on something?
Yeah, because there isn't anything there. This is not a restaurant.
Well, and just, people sometimes, how people can be. They just make assumptions.
Yeah.
Think, they're going to have a buffet catered for us or something.
Right, no.
Want to make sure people know. It's all about information.
That's right.
Medicaid funding. Let me preface this. I remember when, wasn't that long ago, the people of Missouri voted for this. And I was told by a lawmaker, in no uncertain terms, that, this just isn't going to get funded. And that the media and that everyone had a misunderstanding as to how these things worked. And this sort of thing can get voted on, but if it's not funded, it doesn't happen. And they don't have to fund it. And so it was explained that it just won't get funded.
That's right.
Yeah.
And constitutionally,
right,
they can't do it because Article 3, Section 51. So on initiative petitions and referendum, the initiative shall not be used for the appropriation of money other than of new revenues created and provided thereby. So if you don't have a source in the initiative petition,
right,
they don't have to fund it. And I've seen a lot of Facebook things. The people voted and
not to fund it. No,
nope,
they
to
did
fund
not.
It. So that wasn't part of it.
Yeah.
So when they had the medical marijuana, they had some kind of tax or something, fees, some way to fund it.
Right.
That's what you got to have. They didn't put that in the Medicare or Medicaid expansion.
Do you think that was by design? Why would they not do that?
I think that was by design. If they had put some way to pay for that, it would have been
more difficult to pass.
I don't think it would have passed. They would have had to put in, some X percent increase in the income tax rate, a sales tax, some kind of.
Right. Well, and at the same time, it gives them a political issue that can be used based off of people's misunderstanding, ignorance of
right.
this, because now they can claim that not only do they not want to, you know, help those in need, but even when it's part of the, they're violating the Constitution. You know, they can make all of these false claims, and they'll, you know, and it'll be passed on that way by the media, and so it will give them that as a political issue, also.
Yes,
I mean, it's a dishonest one, but
yeah,
I mean, you know, most of them are, I guess.
So all of the arguments, I listened to a little some of the debate on the House floor. And, you know, they always use the, oh, this is for the children. You know,
yeah,
you
gotta, right. Isn't everything? I mean, it always is.
But
always for the children.
You kind of messed up because you didn't yeah. have a funding source in it.
Yeah, that's on you.
Yeah.
Your fault. So you screwed the children, I guess.
Yes.
It's your fault. Your negligence is going to leave children sick everywhere.
The people decided.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they even had it in the August primary election so that they needed it's a smaller turnout.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how you get the thing passed. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the how many people actually voted for it compared to the population or even registered voters, it was a small percentage of the registered voters that voted for it.
Speaking of the people have spoken mantra, I know it's not on your list here, but just throw it out there as there are a number of Republicans that are pushing for 5 separate tax increases on gas, 2.5 cents a year for 5 years, one every year. And I point this out constantly, and it is when there is something that is decided by the people and the people speak that the left agrees with, then the legislature comes along and tries to, through their, you know, legal, legislative, constitutional means, try to implement it anyhow. The newspaper editorial boards go nuts about the people have spoken, and this is, you know, the breaking down of democracy, and they're supposed to represent the people, and they're just ignoring them. What's the point even voting? But when it comes to the gas tax and the fact that I know at least twice in the last decade, if not 3 times, this has come before the people, and every time they vote it down, I don't see these editorial boards at the News Leader or the Post-Dispatch or the Kansas City Star saying, now wait, the people have spoken. Oddly enough, instead, we hear about how horrible our roads are and how little we pay in gas tax. And it's just so interesting how they are not talking about the people have spoken.
Exactly. And the gas tax, the revenue from the gas tax has actually gone down with time because better fuel efficiency.
Right. Government.
Because of the government.
Yeah, of course.
Mandating better fuel efficiency from the cars. So they get more miles with less gas.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not going to claim that there are not solid arguments for increasing revenue in that particular area. The problem, though, is that the people are taken advantage of so often in areas where it isn't necessary. And at some point, you know, you're going to suffer, government. And, you know, you can only kick a dog so many times before the dog will turn on you.
Right.
Even if you're, you know, deciding all of a sudden to be nice and, oh, I really want your companionship, you know. It's just there's only so often that you can do that. And so I don't feel guilty. I don't feel bad. Even like, well, we really, 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 truly need it. Well, you know what? There were tons of times you really didn't, and you told us you did. And so guess what? You're suffering for it now. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But and it also kills me to hear a number of those who are supporting it using the same arguments that Democrats use for raising taxes, and it's going to create all this, you know, these new jobs, and all, it's going to bring all this revenue. I'm like, now you criticize Democrats when they use those arguments for tax increases, but now you're using them? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. We've got Dr. John Lilly with us. Quick break. More ahead from Scramblers Heroes Breakfast this morning. Veterans till 9 a.m. You get breakfast free. That is at Scramblers on Republic Road and National in Springfield. I'm Nick Reed. Scramblers this morning. Any of the show you missed, don't worry. We've got the on-demand section sponsored by Gun Tech in Nixa. At least one of the gals from Air Services Heating, Cooling, All Service Plumbing out here. They are some of the folks paying for veterans to have free breakfast this morning out here. And that along with Delta Roofing and, of course, Scramblers as well. Dr. John Lilly.
Well, the PDMP is trying to work its way through the legislature.
Isn't it always?
The Senate, and again, Holly Rader is now in the Senate, so there was no House bill for this thing. They started it in the Senate, and about 4 weeks ago, they went. You know, it went through a hearing, and they passed it in the passed it through the Senate, went over to the House. They had, and they put it in the Veterans Committee. What that has to do with veterans,
right.
I don't know. But the chairman of the committee, when they had the hearing, said, "Well, there's a lot of legislation out here, and so the speaker is trying to get all of these through, and so they're going to committees that are not necessarily the appropriate committee, just so they can." So they can get these through.
That definitely sounds like the way government should function.
And I was talking with one of the committee members, went up to his office, and he wasn't there, but his legislative assistant was. I gave her some information, and I said, yeah, it's going to be at the Veterans Committee this evening. And she looked at me and says, why is this in the Veterans Committee? And I said, because when it came up for a vote last year, all but one of the members of the Veterans Committee voted for it.
Yeah.
So it is a political
right, yeah.
consideration, not a this is where this bill appropriately needs to go to a specific committee.
With shame.
So it flew through that, and it then went to the Rules Committee on Legislative There's a legislative rules committee. Now, they have an executive session on Monday. They've got about six or seven bills that they're going to review. It's going to be interesting to see if this gets voted out, because last year, if you look at how they voted, assuming there's one new freshman that's a Democrat, assuming they're going to vote for it, last year, it would not have passed. There were six of the members of the committee that voted against this, and only four of them that voted for it, and then the one new Democrat would make five. So, I don't know. There's a chance it will not get voted out of committee. But usually, they will say, yeah, go ahead, and we'll vote it out and send it to the floor. But all they need to do is put in one amendment, and then it has to go back to the Senate, and it would die in the Senate.
This obsession with this thing, this prescription drug monitoring program to monitor Missourians' prescription drug, usage. It's almost unhealthy. It would be one thing if every other state that has one, as they love to point out, we're the only one who doesn't have it. If every other state had really licked the drug problem,
right,
and we were the ones, like Missouri was known as the state that has a problem with drug addiction, but everywhere else has got it figured out. You could at least say, well, all right, I disagree. That shouldn't be the role of government. But I got to give it to you. It does work. It doesn't work.
That's right.
It is. Oh, my gosh. I cannot stop referencing my frustration when it comes to how all I want is just common. And, like, one, is it the role of government? But two, even for sake of argument, let's say that it is. These people, they constantly push for things that have proven not to work over and over again. It's like, why do you do this? What? And I don't, it's got to be a psychological thing. There's got to be some psychological, it would be nice to see a study. What is it that makes people, but particularly politicians who have access to all of the information, constantly try to push for things that have proven over and over and over again to not work?
Well, I can tell you what it is. We have to do something.
Yeah. Well, and that's a psychological, yeah, and we hear that a lot. We're doing something's better than nothing. No,
it's not.
No, that's not true. Sometimes, in fact, it's worse because it gives people a false sense of security that, well, we've got it taken care of. We don't need to worry about it. Then that can, you know, you take your eye off the ball and you stop looking for other ways in order to try and fix the problem. But, yeah, that is the instinct for a lot of people. And for many, when it comes to voting bodies, it's just easier to go along. They're like, well, you know, I don't want to be on the receiving end of all sorts of accusations that I don't care about people. And it's just easier to, yeah, I'll go ahead and support it. And so that's, you know, unfortunately how so often government overreach does occur. We've got Dr. John Lilly with us here at Scramblers this morning, our Friday Road Show, sponsored by Queen City Motors. We've got Jim V. Brock's out here. A lot of folks have come out here today. Did D. Wampler leave?
He left.
Oh. Did he even eat anything, or did
no.
he just come and walk?
He
did a walk
just
through
walked
and
around.
Left? Okay. Well, that's all right. Angela Romine, newly elected to the council. I know she was out here earlier. I think she's still over there. We've got Eric Franklin from Republic Council. And, of course, a tremendous amount of veterans out here, many of which I just listed, in fact. Well, all of them are veterans. Don Carricker as well. Chris Stark on her flight to the Ozarks. And we've got that Heroes Breakfast going on this morning. Free breakfast for veterans, thanks to Air Services Heating, Cooling, All Service Plumbing, Delta Roofing, and Scramblers. Traffic update now. I'm Nick Reed. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's a Friday. It's a great Friday. It's a Heroes Breakfast Friday. We are at our Queen City Motors Sponsors Friday Roadshow. That would be Scramblers, Republic and National. If you miss any of the show, Guntech Nixa. They sponsor the on-demand section, so you can catch any of it, get it uploaded there. Very convenient for you. It's also on our app, which is sponsored by Edelman Travel. That app is great to have. It's easy access to contacting the studio to listen live, no matter where you are in the world. In fact, that's what we'll use when we are on our great escape in Jamaica, November 13th through 20th, and you have a chance to win a free trip with us for that great escape. All the details at ksgf.com. I feel like just there in 30 seconds, I got 8 or 9 different points of interest in for you. Jason Ryman now with the latest news. First alert forecast, we are going to have a sunny day, high of 77, 54 tonight, 78 and sunny tomorrow, showers likely on Sunday. Maybe some thunderstorms, high of 73. It's 48 and sunny in Springfield. Dr. Lilly with us.
You know, I did a little fact-checking for the PDMP, and unlike the media, mine are actually correct. And I have the source documents that anybody can look up on it. One of the interesting things
But that's
is,
so boring.
Yes.
I mean, who would want to look that up to do a story?
One of the interesting things is Nebraska added all prescription medicines go onto the PDMP. And Maine was trying to do it last year. I don't know whether they succeeded or not. Why does the government need to know what blood pressure medicine I'm on? I mean, it is all prescriptions go into this database.
And that's where we're headed. And this is why I get another source of frustration when you have any elected official who pushed the prescription drug monitoring program in Missouri, and you raised the concerns, and their response is trust the government. Trust.
Right.
Don't worry. We're going to put mechanisms in there to make sure. Yeah, until somebody comes in and votes those mechanisms away.
Yeah.
It's just so frustrating because either they are dishonest or they are so naive they do not belong in a position of authority.
Right. There is a National Council for Prescription Drug Programs. They have written a standards-based facilitated model for the PDMP. Now, one of the things that, all the doctors' organizations support the PDMP, the Missouri State Medical Association, the Academy of Family Physicians, all of them, nurses, everybody, they all support it. But they don't want to have to use it all time. Now, one of the things that is in, and this was just released September of last year, one of the things that it has, it's got a phase one and phase two. When it gets to phase two, all of the information, when a doctor writes a prescription, and they're pushing for everything to be electronic now, even the schedule two, three, and fours, the controlled substances, is done electronically. So it now goes to, with the PDMP, that goes to a private facilitator and then goes to the pharmacy. Well, in phase two, the facilitator will provide data for risk assessment before the electronic prescription is dispensed. So now you've got a private facilitator that is going to tell the doctor if your prescription's okay. The doctors don't realize this yet. I've started making a few of them aware of it.
What's their reaction when they realize?
I can guarantee you they're not going to like it, but they're not completely aware of that. And that's what happens when any time you give the government more control, you are going to at some point lose part of your autonomy. And the doctors have all said, "Oh, we got to have this. It's better for patients, better for patients." Well, yeah, you get this thing in place, and now you're going to have a government bureaucrat telling you what prescriptions you can write.
It's often quoted Reagan saying, "Be afraid," or whatever it is about, government when they say, "I'm here to help." And sometimes it's almost done in a quirky, cutesy way. But this is what he was talking about. You have people, doctors or otherwise, and the government comes along and says, "No, this is to help you. This is there's a problem, and the problem, people are harming themselves, and your job is to make sure people are healthy. So this is to help you." But then they're there. The government is there. And once they're there, they've got the guns. They have the ability to arrest you. They have power. So they can make citizens do whatever they want. So when the day they decide, they want to look over your shoulder as you're filling out that prescription or, decide whether you can or not, they're going to do it. And that's what he was talking about. Anytime government comes along and says, "Hey, I'm here to help you. Don't worry, everything's going to be fine." It's no different, honestly, than a drug dealer or a pimp that in the very beginning tells you all the wonderful, they're there to help you. "Hey, I'll take care of you. Don't worry." They're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart. And even if they are at the time, guess what's going to happen down the road?
Yes, at some point, they're going to get their hooks into you. Like Rahm Emanuel said, never let a good crisis go to waste.
I just honestly am amazed that human beings have lasted as long as we have, given how prevalent it is, people willing to repeat mistakes that have been made, and to see all around us, okay, that didn't work, but then do it over and over and over and over again. You would think, you almost wonder if God didn't create us this way, because otherwise, what would happen if we always learned from our mistakes and you got to the point where, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what would that look like if if we really truly learned from our mistakes and we watched others and we saw, oh, that didn't turn out well, we don't want to do that, I don't know what would happen to humanity if all of a sudden everything was perfect. So maybe it's by design God created people to repeat mistakes over and over again that are not in their best interest. It's one of those things, I guess, when I die and God willing, I'm in heaven. That's what I'm going to ask.
I told you so.
Yeah, I'll be like, you know, I got to tell you, I know people have a lot of questions, you know, aliens or whatever. But I just got to know, why do people make the same mistakes over and never learn from not only other people's mistakes, but their own?
One of the forefathers said, I'll paraphrase, liberty is one generation removed from being eliminated. Yep. You know, unless we educate each successive generation in what it means to have liberty, you'll lose it.
No.
And
it has been slowly
lost over successive
generations. Well, and this is why it's so scary what's happening in the public schools, because it is clear that they not only are they not educating people regarding liberty, but against it. They're indoctrinating people to be against their own self-interest, it's scary, scary stuff what they're doing. We've got Dr. John Lilly with us this morning at Scramblers. I'm Nick Reed. More coming up next. Dr. John Lilly with us this morning at Scramblers Heroes Breakfast, free breakfast for veterans till 9 a.m. I am Nick Reed.
Ben Shapiro had an interesting take on how to counter socialism and socialists and what they want.
Oh, okay.
He said you can't argue on economic efficiency because all they will say is, well, it hasn't been tried to the best yet. They'll always come back with, well, it just hasn't been tried correctly. It's a better system.
Isn't it funny their defense is always, well, it's just always failed.
Yeah,
It's always failed.
And
we
nobody's
just haven't
done
succeeded
it right,
right
yet. You know, when it's done right, then it's a better system. He said you have to argue it on moral grounds. He said there are at least three of the Ten Commandments that it violates. One, they put government as God. So you're putting something above. Thou shalt have no image other than me.
Right.
Two, thou shalt not steal. Well, socialism takes property from one individual and gives it to somebody else. And the third one is don't covet your neighbor's ass. So he's right. It is, you know, you can't realistically, if you look at the countries that have socialism, you know, Venezuela used to be the premier. Mm-hmm. They had all this oil revenue. They were the richest country in South America. And now it's a stagnant, you know, people are eating garbage.
But, you know, I've argued this, that in reality, the government response to COVID, it has given us right here at home an example of socialism. And look what it has done to the economy. Now, people, they'll say, well, that's different because it was necessary. You can argue what you want, but everywhere where socialism happens, the government does it because they say it's necessary for one reason or another.
Right.
Socialism, it's always, quote, necessary. But what you had when it came to COVID was government telling businesses this is how you will conduct yourself for whatever the reason. And we see what happens. I mean, you know, and now we're in a position where you have numerous industries that you have all these jobs that they desperately are trying to get people to work, and they won't because government is, you know, in the name of equity, making sure that they're taken care of. And we're seeing it right before our very eyes. And again, I go back to the frustration of, you know, proving something doesn't work, but people bound and determined to keep trying to do it over and over again. But you know what I also, you know, and I agree that there's a difference between the argument of statistics and numbers and reality, and then there's the moral argument. But I find in the times I've had these discussions that there's the one question that they can never answer, those who promote socialism, and that is, why is it that the flow is always one way of refugees? People from socialist countries literally at times – they die fleeing their countries to come to somewhere like the United States that you say needs to be more like them, yet you don't hear there's no border crisis at these socialist countries of Americans trying to make it there. Why is that? There's never an answer for that.
Right.
And you can talk theory all you want. You can talk philosophy. You can talk about the way things ought to be. But there is a reality to people heading towards what they really truly feel is in their best interest. And when it comes down to it, people don't try to get into communist or socialist countries. They don't try to sneak into those countries. It's the other way around.
Exactly.
And, you know, little bonus fact. For a country that's supposed to be the most racist country on earth, yet no other country has more people of color trying to legally and illegally get into it than the United States.
Right.
And so that also answers the, you know, and that's another question. I say, if we're so racist, why does this happen? There's no answer for that either.
Right.
More with Dr. John Lilly from Scramblers This Morning in moments. I'm Nick Reed. Along with Dr. John Lilly.
A while back, I started thinking about why are we having the problems that we're having today, and I came up with a couple of what I think are interesting solutions.
Mm.
Number one, we have traded front porches for rear decks.
Mm.
When I was a little kid, and it was a nice evening, people sat out on their front porch. They talked to their neighbors.
Yeah.
Other people were watching kids, and if I was doing something that I was not supposed to, they would call my parents and tell on me.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a sense of community.
Right.
You know, that's when a village really did raise a child. Not today. You know, now we have rear decks, where we are isolated from our neighbors. We don't, you know, there's no sense of community. Maybe the neighborhood gets together once a year and has a little street party or something. So that's a philosophical difference where it is just that loss of community, a loss of shared responsibility.
Right.
That, you know, I'm looking out for my kids, but I'm also looking out for other people, too.
Sure.
And, you know, that's when we, you know, you could, if somebody else would discipline your kids, the parents would say thank you.
Yeah, that's absolutely,
You know.
And they'd be embarrassed that their kid behaved in the way that needed that.
Yes, and they'll say, they'll get disciplined again when they get home.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now if you try to discipline yourself in a public setting, you're the one that's a bad person. Oh, you can't do that. You can't discipline your child.
Yeah.
So it is. I know. It has been
called DFS on you.
Such a difference.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, grandparents are no longer living with the parents. It used to be when I was little, I've got one brother that's 8 years older. Even when I was born, my mother's father still lived. I was five when he died. When my brother was a little kid, both of her parents were still living. That is a source of transmitting knowledge to the next generation on how to raise children. That's gone. We don't have parents in the homes anymore. They are not. They may not even be in the same state. So they are not readily accessible to new parents.
Right.
So what's replaced that? Government. Now, the schools are saying, well, you know, we'll supply lunch, we'll supply breakfast, even in the summer. You come to us to get your meals. You come to us and we will take care of your kids. Even though it has been shown that preschool... Head Start is an abject failure, but it keeps expanding. They keep getting more money. Everybody wants to have more and more preschools. Was it Arne Duncan, the Secretary of Education for Obama, gave a speech back when the first part of the Obama administration was in Egypt or some UN conference. And he said their goal is essentially to control from preschool through college. That is the goal of the government, to control that.
Jeez. I mean, it is to me, that mentality is no different than a David Koresh or a Jim Jones cult leader whose ultimate goal is just to dictate to people how they should live their lives. Dr. John Lilly, as always, it's a great pleasure.
You bet.
Appreciate it. And then hopefully next time we talk to you, we'll know whether or not you'll join us in Jamaica for
That's
the Great
true.
Escape.
All righty.
All right, we are at Scramblers this morning. It is the Heroes Breakfast, Air Services Heating, Cooling, All Service Plumbing, and Delta Roofing. Along with Scramblers, all providing free breakfast for veterans this morning until 9 a.m. Scramblers, Republic Road, and National. As our Friday Roadshow sponsored by Queen City Motors continues, I'm Nick Reed.